Let's have a prayer, shall we? Let's have a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we open your word for this day, as we learn again from Nehemiah and his experience, may it draw us closer to you, to appreciate you more and more, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. The last time I was here, the people were building the wall. They were encouraged to work as a team to get this wall built. And they were doing that. Progress. It's good to see progress. It's good to see things that are happening. But you know, just when you think things are going well and there is progress happening, it's amazing how someone will always try and step in and change the order of the event. Nehemiah chapter 4. Come with me there. Nehemiah chapter 4. And beginning with verse 1. But it came to pass that when Shambalite heard that the wall, that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Here we got the scene that is set where the people are doing their job, and now someone who is looking on who thinks, you can't do it. Really? Who do these poor deluded people think they are? What skills do they really have? The walls will not stand. Can't be done. It won't take much to pull them down. With the stones being such a mess, do they really think they can make a new start? And you know, these words were not new. Nehemiah chapter 2. Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 10, we see these words. When Shimelite, the Homilite, and Tobiah, the servant, the Amorite, heard it, it grieved them exceedingly. There was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. Hey, we don't want this. We don't want this happening. We don't want progress. And for these people, the desire was that the children of Israel were not to be helped. Let them suffer. Let them suffer for the sins of their fathers. Why should they have a new start? Hinder. How would you cope? How would you cope if someone started saying this about you? When you're feeling a bit down, when you're trying to get on top, and then you've got people who start digging in the pitchfork. Would you feel like giving up? Would you feel like hanging in there? And as we look at this scene, we could ask the question, what did Nehemiah do? How did he respond to this? What was his response? Nehemiah 4. And in verses 4 and 5, we read these words, hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for prey in the land of captivity. Cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before them, for thee. For they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. Have you ever prayed this prayer? Please, Lord, hear me. Hear me. We need to be heard. We are in trouble. The enemy is great. How are we to deal with this on our own? Hear me. I'm reminded of the words found in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew 11, come with me there. Matthew 11 and verse 28. For we read these beautiful words, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Psalms 27 in verse 1, I read these words. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 62 in verse 2 says, He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Come with me now to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Here we have a beautiful passage. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 and 16. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What wonderful words. We can come to him, he will hear us. He is our light, he is our rock. In him we can put our trust. And these words still apply today in whatever situation we face. We can come to Jesus, we can trust him. He wants to be our friend and guide. He wants to keep us safe from harm and danger. So what did the people of Nehemiah do? What was their purpose? What was their aim? Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4. In verse 6, so built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together under the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. What a simple approach to take, that they needed to keep in mind the building of this wall. To keep in mind the thing that really mattered, that was they had a project. The project was to build that wall. They had a purpose. And they were not going to be shifted from that purpose. And how we could all learn from that. What is our purpose for being here? What is our purpose for coming to church? Is it just to fill in the days before we die? Or do we have a desire to be ready to meet Jesus and to encourage others to be ready to meet him on that day? What's our purpose? I'm reminded of the words of Psalms 101. Come with me there. Psalms 101. Psalms 101. Verse 6 and 7. My eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. You know, as we look at this passage, the challenge is, who are we going to serve? What's our choice? Do we choose to serve Jesus, or will it be someone else? Only we in our own minds know the full answer to that one. But the message in these two verses is very clear. There is only two paths to take. There is no in between. And the challenge is, who are you making to be the leader of your heart? And so the people have been forced to make a choice. Who would they depend upon in this matter, this building of the wall? We are told that they chose to depend upon God. We are told that the wall is going to be built. Nehemiah chapter 4. Come with me there. Nehemiah chapter 4. We see this wall being built. And then in verse 7 and verse 8 in Nehemiah chapter 4, we find something else. But it came to pass that when Samulite and Tumulite and the Arabians and the Amorites and the Ashdodites heard that the wall of Jerusalem were made up, that the breaches began to be stopped, that they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. What a picture. It's amazing how some people cannot cope with progress. Anything new is something to be feared. Here this wall is being built, and those who were living outside saw, hey, something's happening, we don't like it. We don't like it. And so we find that these people are all against this wall being built. They conspire, they're going to stop it, they're going to destroy it. And so we find they plotted and they planned. How can we stop this wall? And as we take in this picture of what is happening, we find that the question is being asked, you know, what do we do? What do we do? And if you were there that day, what would you do? Where would you go for help? If you were the leader, where would you go for guidance? Who would you turn to in such a situation? You know, the wonderful thing is that the answer that we have here in this chapter, the answer was very simple. It's a good one. It's a good one. Because in verse 9, we have the answer. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God. I want to hold it there. Because the first thing we find is that they prayed. They prayed. How often we are guilty of only doing this when everything else has failed. You know, how we all know the old saying, when everything else fails, you read the instructions. Make it a lot easier when you read the instructions first, isn't it? How much easier life can be if we come to God first instead of last. They prayed. I'm reminded of the words of Psalms 5, chapter 2. Psalms 5 and verse 2. Let's go there. Psalms 5. Beautiful words. Psalms 5 and verse 2. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto thee will I pray. Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15. In verse 8. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. He wants us to pray. James chapter 5. Come with me there. James chapter 5. And the last part of verse 16 reads this. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You know, when you think about these words, the message is very clear. God wants us to pray. God wants us to talk to him and to share with him all the things that are on our mind. He wants us to be honest with him and to not be afraid of him. You know, we are often told that he's only a prayer away. He's only a prayer away. But how often we are guilty of forgetting that point. That he is only a prayer away. But as we read these words, we discover something else. That prayer can do wonders. Prayer can change lives. Prayer can save a person. For Jesus. Yes, they prayed. But come back to Nehemiah chapter 4 again. And in verse 9 again, we read that, "Nevertheless, we made a prayer unto our God." Yes, they did that. But then, "and set a watch against them day and night because of them." In other words, they were willing to act. They were willing to act. They were willing to do their part to stop the enemy. Consider with me the following, Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. In verse 4, we read this challenging comment. "But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another." God wants us to act. To prove ourselves worthy. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Here we are also challenged to examine where we're at. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 5. "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates." Hey, look at yourself. Examine yourself. How do you stand with God? Am I being a faithful follower, or am I just a pew warmer? Am I active for Jesus? Am I just going along for the ride? To put it very simply, when God looks at me, when God looks at you, can he see a reflection of Jesus? They prayed. They acted. Nehemiah chapter 4. We could ask the question to this situation, how did they react? How did they react? Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 13 onwards. "Therefore set I in the lower places, behind the wall and on the higher place. I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives and your houses. And it came to pass, when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work." They had a plan. They had a plan. They prayed. They put their plan into action. And what we find is that when they prayed to God, when they put their plan into action, God was with them. God was with them. He strengthened them. As the enemy looked at what was happening, the enemy thought, hey, we can't fight this. We cannot fight this. And as we take in the scene, it could be said that they had a single eye on the prize of having that wall built. And you know, sometimes we too need to have a single eye for heaven. That we do not become distracted by the things that are around us. And all that we need, what we need most, is to keep the eye upon Jesus each and every day. Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4. verse 21. And so we laboured in the work. And half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Likewise, at the same time, said I unto the people, let every one with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be a guard to us, and labour on the day. So neither I, nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guards which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, save that everyone put them off for washing. What a picture. The people were faithful to all that they did. They were not going to be put off. They were not going to be distracted. They were not going to be deterred. And so with God beside them, they pressed forward and the job got done. The wall was built. But you know, here we are living at the end of time. We believe that Jesus is coming home, coming back soon, to take us home. Yes, we want to be ready to meet him and not to be put off from that. We want to be part of the redeemed who will see heaven. But is believing enough? To just simply believe, will that be enough to get me through the gate? Revelation 22, verse 7. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Verse 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gate into the city. You know, what a challenge for us all today. The reward is great. The reward is wonderful. But God does require something of us all. For the people who built the wall, they did pray, but there was a part for them as well to act upon. The wall was not going to put itself up. They had to build it. And the same applies to us today. Yes, we do need to pray. Yes, we do need to depend upon Jesus, who is there for us each one. But does it mean that we can sit down and do nothing? Does it mean that we can just sit down and wait for the heavens to open up? No, it doesn't work that way. We all have a part to play. We all must be willing to act. We all must be willing to be obedient. So for us all, may we not just all pray, but may we also be willing to act and to do the things that Jesus would have us to do. And then, when Jesus does come, when Jesus does return, we will then know the joy of seeing him face to face and to be a part of his kingdom of grace and love. Yes, we can pray, but we must also act. May we each faithfully follow him. Dear kind Heavenly Father, may we trust you and follow you, knowing that you will lead us and guide us to the wonderful place that you've prepared for those who are faithful. May we be faithful, we pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen.